anybody ever said to you, "May I have a word with you?"
No.
No. No. Samantha, has anybody ever said, "May I have a word with you?" Mm-mm. Well, sometimes people say, and it might be your mom who might say, "Oh, did you lose your magnet there? Oh, you got it. Okay." Might be your mom. She says, "May I have a word with you, young lady?" Mm-mm. No. Well, what that means is, "I want you to come over here so I can talk to you." When people want to talk to you, they might say they have a word for you. Okay, Vincent. Yeah, you want to hold one of these for me? You hold one of those for me, all right? Okay. Sometimes we call the Bible the Word of God. Are there words in that book? Yeah, there's lots of words in that book.
I can see I.
You. That's right. That's a lowercase I. That word is is.
V-I. V starts starts with my name.
Oh, okay. There is an I in your name, isn't there?
He knows how to spell it.
Good.
V-I-N-C-E.
Okay, if the Bible is the Word of God, did God write all the words in there?
It looks like a V.
You think? There is a V. Yes, there is a V. Yes. The Bible is really a whole bunch of books. And it was written by over 40 people. And what we say is that the Bible was inspired by God, that God gave them some of the ideas, and they wrote down the stories of all of their people's lives with God. So the things that God said to them and the things that God helped them do, they wrote all those stories down. And they also wrote down stories that help us understand what we're supposed to do, so we can follow the Word of God or the teachings of God. And there's a Bible verse, and Vincent's got his, and I wanted to give everybody a copy of their own. And I know you're starting to see some letters, aren't you, Samantha? You know some of those letters? Yeah? And this verse, it starts with your. Do you see your right there?
Your
word.
A lamp.
Lamp, right?
To my feet and a light to me path.
Your word, very good. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And when most of us big people were little, we memorized a verse from the Bible. And I bet you could do it too, Vincent. I bet you could memorize this verse. It's not very long, and I bet you could memorize it. And if you come back next week or next month, whenever you come back, if you will tell me this because you remembered it, I have a prize from my office upstairs for you, all right? So you come to me and you tell me this verse, and I have a prize for you. Okay, Vincent, can you do that too? I bet you can work on that with mom or grandma or somebody. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, so your word, say your word.
Your word.
Your word. Can you say that, Vincent? Your word.
Your word.
Is a lamp.
Is a lamp.
Is a lamp.
Is a
to my feet.
And a light
to my path. Okay, I bet everybody can say it with us too.
Your word
is a lamp
to my feet
and a light to my path. Yeah, and what could that silly thing mean? I think it means, what's this? It's a flashlight? It's a flashlight. When we're walking in the dark, there's your shoes. When we're walking in the dark, we need a light to show us where we're walking, right? Yeah? A light to show us where we're walking. And if we listen to the teachings, the Word of God, what Jesus taught us about God, about being nice to people and sharing and forgiving people when they do something wrong. If we follow the Word of God, it's like following a light so that we know where we're going. Okay? It helps us in the dark if we have a light, doesn't it? You got a flashlight too? A horsey flashlight. Sounds cool. Okay. All right. So that's what we were learning about today. And Mr. Bill has plans for you too. So can we make a circle and say a prayer? Good job. Okay. Jesus, we thank you for all that you taught us and you showed us in ways that we can understand. Help us every day to follow you and to listen to all of your lessons. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Very good. And Mr. Bill is standing back over there. Okay. You can give those to your mom if you want and then go downstairs with Mr. Bill. You were given a stick. And throughout Lent, we have been giving out these reminder sticks. And every one of them is back there on the table. And every one of them is if you so choose. And however it works in your life. This week's reminder is forgive. Maybe there are lots of things that you need to let go of from your past. Maybe there are people who have hurt you who've never even asked for your forgiveness. But maybe you need to forgive because your heart needs to let go. Think about this week. Are there people that you need to forgive? Maybe you need to forgive yourself. None of us is perfect. We make mistakes, and sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. Forgiveness is our reminder for Lent this week. Let us pray. Oh God, Illuminator, Revealer, surprising God, we are yours. We seek your face. Help us revere nothing higher than you. We are grateful every hour, every day. Help us remember that all good gifts come from you. We thank you this day for missionaries to Back Bay and Hungary and Chile and the world. We seek your protection for the war-torn and the storm-tossed. Show us your heart. Teach us how to help. Jesus, light of the nations, guide your church. Show us how to be your body. We thank you for healing and reconciliation. We thank you for tender words and warm hugs. We thank you for miracles and everyday healing. We thank you for being light in our darkness. Spirit, wind of presence, enfold us, lift us, make us brave and strong that we might be your arms, carrying the hurting, mending the broken. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And from the Gospel of John, Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, who had sneaked to him in the night. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light that has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Here ends the reading from the third chapter of the Gospel of John. My message this day is called Come to the Light. Way back in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, there is a Hebrew story from the time when the people wandered in the wilderness. The people were whining, complaining against both God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. You see, they had grown to like the melons and other tasty goods of Egypt and thought manna was boring. Well, God did not appreciate their lack of appreciation. So God filled the region with poisonous snakes. And folks started dying. They apologized. We're sorry. However, instead of getting rid of the snakes, God gave Moses a tool. Moses made a bronze serpent and posted it on a pole. If a person was bitten, he or she would just have to look up to the metal snake and they would recover. Thus, every time they needed help, they learned to look up. So, jumping ahead, today's story. Sorry, my paperclip's not working that well. So jumping ahead, today's story from the book of John began with Jesus reminding Nicodemus, his listener, the Pharisee, about a Moses story he would know well from sacred scripture. That story from the book of Numbers. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Okay. There's our lesson for the day. We will lift our eyes toward Jesus. Ever heard any exasperated questions about free will? Ever had a teenager or a friend ask, "Why does God let people do bad stuff? Why didn't God just make us do the right thing?" Well, many wise ones think that love is not truly love if we have no choice. That maybe God set us free that we might choose to come home, choose to love and honor our Maker. In the wilderness, the lesson was harsh. You can choose to die from snake venom, or you can choose to look up to that pole and believe God will help. We have it so much easier. How did Jesus put it? Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. There are no immediate death sentences for not believing in Jesus. Yet Jesus says they are condemning themselves. They are living apart from their Creator. What alternative does he offer? Look for the light. Come to the light. Jesus is a gift, an offer. Jesus was sent because God loved the world that much. You may choose to look up or not. Life will be better if you look up and live in the light. Still, your choice. Notice how moths and other insects flutter around your porch light at night. Are they that stupid? No. We have confused their well-developed navigation system. Their system was designed to allow them to fly well at night. They fly at night by keeping the moon at a constant angle. And then we interfere by turning on the porch light, and they buzz all around it, lost and hungry. It seems that Jesus is suggesting we fly like the moths, not stranded on a porch light, but orienting ourselves by the good natural light Jesus offers. Do not live in the darkness. Use the teaching and wisdom of Jesus to keep our flight paths straight. From Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Notice, we are not moths to stare at the lamp. We do not worship the word, the lamp. We use that lamp to guide our feet in good directions. We go places. We worship Jesus. We follow his teachings and do his work. We look up to him if we choose. Always a choice, a good choice. I have had a very bright young friend for nearly 20 years. She raised a child but never left her parents' home. She's always made declarations about what we do, outlining her father's preferences. We don't go places like that. We don't vote for them. When I first went back to college, I could not persuade her that college might be within her grasp as well. It was something we don't do or can't do. Once I took her with me to class, and even though it was midway through a statistics class, she caught on right away and eventually wondered why the kids in the back were asking such dumb questions. Yet even offering to pay for her first class, I never got her to go to college. It seems she never looked up. Many women and a few men have had small templates pressed upon them. You don't want to be a doctor. You could be a nurse. It's just too expensive for you to go to college. Have people expected too little from you or from your children? We often hear about the sins of pride, greed, and arrogance. But it is also a sin to be less than you are. If we aim low, we deny our gifts. You cheat the world of the doctor or professor or governor you were meant to be. God dreams wild, colorful visions and does not care a whit about what your family or your culture thinks. How else would Malala, that Pakistani teenage girl, have won the Nobel Prize for advocating education? We can aim low and do what everyone has always done, or we can lift our eyes and use God's light, the blessed Son of God, to see God-sized dreams and eternal possibilities. Here in the book of John, Jesus tries again to help us accept, help us believe and embrace. We can choose to remain small with sin in darkness, but he offers a better choice. Light is a gift. Hope and joy and grace are among God's abundant gifts. We can choose darkness, or we can choose to live and dance in the light, the sacred light of God. Frederick Buechner was a Presbyterian minister, now known as a theologian and writer. Here is a bit Buechner has written about grace. After centuries of handling and mishandling, most religious words have become so shop-worn, nobody's much interested anymore. Not so with grace, for some reason. Mysteriously, even derivatives like gracious and graceful still have some of the bloom left. Grace is something you can never get, but only be given. There's no way to earn it or deserve it or bring it about any more than you can deserve the taste of raspberries with cream or earn good looks or bring about your very own birth. A good sleep is grace, as are good dreams. Most tears are grace. The smell of rain is grace. Somebody loving you is grace. Loving someone is grace. Have you ever tried to love somebody? A crucial eccentricity of the Christian faith is the assertion that people are saved by grace. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing you have to do. The grace of God means something like, here is your life. You might never have been, but you are, because the party wouldn't have been complete without you. Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Nothing can ever separate us. It's for you. I created the universe. I love you. There's only one catch. Like any other gift, the gift of grace can be yours only if you'll reach out and take it. Maybe being able to reach out and take it is a gift too. Amen.